Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. The Lions getting ready for week 4 of the NFL season. 0-3, rough start, but that's all right. We're turning the leaf. It's October, baby. That's when Dan Campbell's going to step up, right? If you're drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, you certainly believe it. On the episode, we'll be previewing that week 4 game where the Lions are traveling to Chicago as underdogs. And we'll have Deuce entering the Lions' den. If you don't remember him, we had him on a couple of years ago, so he's, I believe, our first re-entry into the Lions' den. So get ready for all that. And just thank you to everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. I know 0-3, but you're sticking with it. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. If not, start doing it, baby. Don't worry. There's a lot of things to like about this team. So sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog!
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the Blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything. We got it here. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. It is September 29th. Oh, man, the end of September, the Lions winless through this month, but that's all right. October is a brand new month, brand new Kool-Aid to drink, baby, as we head into the second quarter of the season, pretty much. But before we do that, the Lions will be traveling to Chicago this weekend. We'll get into all that, and someone entering the Blue Kool-Aid, or the entering the Lions den, I'm sorry. But
let's, you found someone brave enough, Zeke?
Entering the Blue Kool-Aid.
We did. It's tough. We go out there, a lot of people don't want to enter, but we
found he only thinks brave he's enough. Brave enough.
We'll get into all that in a second, but before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So on Big Z, let's go around to the rest. We got UJ.
Hey, everybody.
Rud Dog.
Yo.
And then traveling in the car right now, Connor.
Yo!
All right, gentlemen. Before we get to the Lions, and just really quick, Jamie Collins gets released by the Lions. No trade value out there.
Bye-bye.
What do we think about that? Did you expect us to get trade value for Jamie Collins?
I was hoping for a 7th.
I thought we might get a low pick for him, but
I thought we might get a 7th as well. He must be really worthless around the league.
I bet the Patriots.
And there, is there any doubt that he's going to end up on the Patriots?
None at all.
Yeah, right. No. He probably will.
I don't think any of us are sad to see him go. His effort was not up to par, I would say, for the first two games of the season. He did recover a fumble, but it literally fell into his lap pretty much in the first play of the season. But Jamie Collins, the Lions, by the way, now have $55 million. Or a little dead over cap. $55 million in dead cap space, easily the highest in the league, which is pretty insane. And if you hear that chuckle, that is our Bears fan. So let's get into it. So now we're going to move on to entering the Lions' den. And entering the Lions' den this week, a returnee. We don't have too many returnees. He might be the first, maybe the second. I can't remember.
We've
had someone else.
A couple.
You know, you lost a leg last time, a few bites and a few scratches, but you've recovered. It's been a couple of years, but now we got Deuce. You want to go by Deuce? What do you want to be introduced as?
Yeah, we'll go as Deuce.
All right, Deuce, a Bears fan. Deuce. I've known him for a long time, and he knows the pain that I've gone through as a Lions fan, especially. But nonetheless, Deuce, welcome. The Lions' den.
Thank you for having me.
So, Deuce, you know, man, the Bears have gone through some stuff. Well, let's start with this news about them moving out of Chicago to Arlington Park, northwest suburb of Chicago, where the old racetrack was. How do you feel about the Bears moving out of Chicago potentially?
Kind of good.
I mean, at this point, what does it matter? It's just, it's more space for them to actually have the whole thing. They'll do the same thing that the Ricketts did with Wrigley, and the McCaskies will make money hand over fist. They'll be happy, and the same underperforming team will be put out there week after week. And honestly, I don't see much changing, just location.
Yeah, does a new stadium help you find a quarterback?
Hold up. You know, we've got a quarterback. We've got
three
serviceable quarterbacks.
And Andy Dalton, come on.
None of them are functioning too well.
Nick Foles is still there. That's right. And according to your head coach this week, any of them could be starting by the end of Sunday.
Yeah,
which is a bizarre comment.
I think they're going to draw straws.
There's a lot of upside in that pile of QBs.
There is.
Give us your thought. What are your thoughts on Nagy? If the Lions win, is he gone? I feel like a lot of Bears fans might be rooting for the Lions this week just so Nagy can get.
Well, they are.
I was never a Nagy fan, but I was a Nagy apologist, I would say, and gave him a lot of credit, even though just the team that they've been at least 500 for the past three seasons has just been awful, terrible production all the time. And there's a flash during that Rams game, even though the Rams, they didn't do much against the Rams. They were moving the ball decently, and it felt like, maybe this is something, like maybe this is starting. But then immediately he just abandoned that. Against the Browns, they should have gone with that same strategy of a bunch of quick outs and keep moving forward. Instead, they said, no, we're going to give Justin Fields no time in the pocket and have everyone run 10 to 15 yards down the field and then just fail miserably.
Or if you're Justin Fields, 10 to 15 yards backwards.
Exactly. And the fact that he can't make an adjustment, he can't see his own failure in real time is almost comically impressive.
Are you talking about the Lions right now of the past?
The Lions, that's a different type of failure. Like, you'll fail miserably in the fourth quarter after showing that you're going to try for three quarters, at least right away by 12, 10, just 10 minutes past noon this week. We knew immediately this game is they are going to flounder. There's no point even trying. But the defense held them in. The only thing Nagy does well is just lets the defense kind of be on their own. And then he goes and tries to absolutely jeopardize the offense in every possible way by not playing to anyone's strengths. So I'm
officially... Maybe Nagy wants Nagy to lose.
Yeah, he might. There's a chance that maybe he just wants to get out of the team. He's made this
sabotage. Hey, are you worried? Are you worried that they're going to ruin Justin Fields? I mean...
100%.
I did not like to see you get him in the draft. I didn't like to see that, but because I was worried he might be a good quarterback actually in this league. So, after that first outing, though, oh my God, he just got destroyed. I'd be worried that they're going to ruin this kid early.
Without a doubt. I mean, you just kind of assume they will. Like, the Lions are going to lose in dumb ways. They've shown no ability to do it ever. I mean, the general joke amongst Bears fans at this point is just, bring Sid Luckman back. From
you want Cutler to come out of retirement?
No, trade for Mitch. Mitch is available.
The Lions like not seeing Mitch Trubisky there because Mitch Trubisky actually lit up the Lions.
Killer
Rex Grossman on a good day.
Who's your favorite Bears quarterback of all time in your lifetime? You're 30 years old. You're an old man.
Thanks, Zach. It'd be Jay for sure.
Yeah,
I think I've never won.
It's a great list to choose from. Yeah,
Jay Cutler is awesome.
Not a great list, but at least a long list, a very long. But yeah, I would say officially, I'm out on Nagy. If he, I hope he gets ran.
What about Ryan Pace?
So I mean, what?
You know the field.
What's that, Connor? Go ahead.
I'm saying, what about Ryan Pace? Are you still in on him, or is he out too?
I'm iffy on that, just because he's had a lot. There's been draft busts, but
your GM's strategy for the offseason was trust in a second round right tackle from Virginia Tech that had back problems. You got rid of Charles Leto. Now you're stuck with Jason Peters, who looks like a parking cone.
So I'll say to the offensive line question, last year in the last six games last year, they had their, after they kind of reshuffled pretty repeatedly throughout the year, they had actually came out to somewhat of a general conclusion of who was going to be a passable offensive line. And they did do a decent job, and that's why they finished. I remember every week texting other people like, well, you know, there's still a path to this. There's still a path. There's still a path. And you know what? They found a path to the playoffs because they were able to reorganize that offensive line. There's no depth in it, which is a huge problem, but they were able to get the pieces in place to have it make sense. The Tevin Jenkins injury, obviously huge because that's just a rotating door at left tackle now. But to the question of Ryan Pace, this is the Bears fan me, where any other organization would say, get him out right now. Yep. Whereas me, I'm like, hasn't been terrible. So it's like, honestly, it's just.
Well, you're definitely taking the high side of just because I know a lot of Bears fans do not.
Doesn't
like
he
them.
Wear Nagy around his neck though? As the GM, it's his hire, right?
I think he'll end up getting rid of him pretty soon. But the thing is, I think he knows that at this point he's tied to Nagy, given that they did have one season of success and then have just kept falling down and somehow remained the word isn't competitive. I don't know what it is, but somehow remain in contention in the league. Okay. It's ridiculous, but at this point he has to be tied to Nagy because otherwise then he's gone for sure. And I'm sure the McCaskies and ownership say the same thing of this is your shot. You either do it now or you're done. So yep.
Bears never fired a coach during the middle of the season, correct?
No, it's a very classy organization.
Wow. Right. Yeah, classy. That's a good word.
Yeah, that is a good word.
So what do you think about the upcoming game here, Deuce? And the Lions are 2.5-point underdogs playing in Chicago this weekend. Usually the Lions have been playing like around like early December in Chicago, so they get to escape kind of that winter weather. Also, if you move that new stadium, it's most likely going to be like a retractable roof or something like that. So there might not be Chicago weather anymore in the future for these games.
I don't know. Just let a little bit of snow fall in. Just for the
snow?
Yes, please.
You're not going to get that lake attract.
Lock out the window. Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, the Cody Parkey game might not have happened had
it wasn't by the lake.
Yeah,
maybe. But anyways, this game, this upcoming game here.
But no, so with this one, I don't know. I'm just assuming at this point the Bears are going to lose because they've shown nothing this year.
Wait a minute! Oh, wait, you're supposed to be.
He's trying to get out of the Lions den alive, gentlemen. He's trying to leave with his life.
Let the man speak. The Bears are going to lose, but the question is, who will lose harder? Because the Lions have an unbelievable knack for losing. It is an almost impressive thing. In games where the Bears should go in with all statistics, all rationality, the Bears should lose. Somehow Vegas still has them figured as the overdogs, which doesn't make any sense except for the fact.
What's an overdog?
Not the underdog. The dog on top.
Another word for favorite, I guess.
That would be the correct word.
You Bears fans need something like our Kool-Aid because, wow. It's like,
what color would it be? That would be like,
orange. It's just
I know, but
black
like,
or something.
The overdog always bets the overdog. That's what it is.
Who wants to pick on like the kid who's already down and beating himself up? I mean, come on.
Yeah, no.
I'm just saying, they're a bad team, but the same bad team who I've had no faith in the past 3 years has still found a way to at least end up 8-8.
Yeah.
So every time I think they're going to lose, you should fade me and put all your money on the Bears because it doesn't make sense that they continue to be as prosperous as they are. They've had a 4-12 roster for 3 years now and have won 28 games out of 48. So,
I mean, that defense is still pretty legit. Especially as long as you have Khalil Mack on the line. It's just the offense. The Bears, it's the same old story for the Bears every year.
Exactly. The only difference this year is that they're not getting the same turnovers that they did in previous years. And there's so many games that were determined in the past three seasons where it was truly one turnover from the defense and giving them good field position that you get two in a game, you get 6 points out of field goals. That's been the tide turner this whole time. The defense is still there. Eddie Goldman is – apparently just doesn't want to play anymore.
Yeah, that's weird what's going on with him. But
he took the year off last year for COVID and just maybe enjoyed his retirement.
He's like, I like this. Not bashing my skull in every weekend.
Yeah. Like, he probably thought clearly for the first time in a while and was like, oh, I'd rather see my family. But I don't know. Maybe my final score prediction is going to be Bears 17, Lions 3. If that's
I thought you said the Bears are going to lose. You're all over the place.
They probably will. But when I said that, I talked myself into the fact that they might win just out of pure. You got the luck of the Lions. I think Jared Goff is trash, and probably three pick sixes. So maybe 21 points.
Well,
the defense scores all the points. Okay.
Yeah, we obviously disagree with you completely.
Jeff, I got a question to ask you.
Go for it, Jack.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being that you pee your pants just a little bit, and 10 being you have to stay safe behind the Bears offensive lines with Jason Voorhees chasing you, how scared are you of the Lions this weekend?
Aren't those basically the same option? I mean, I guess
I always advise just roll with, just pick one.
Yeah, you just gotta pick one. You just gotta go.
No, I'm going with Jason Voorhees because I'm not gonna embarrass myself by peeing in the pants.
All right. Yeah.
So 10. Very scared.
Very scared. UJ, did you have any other questions or Connor?
I don't know. No, not right now. Sorry. It's hard to think while I'm on the road. I'm like, you know, kind of focused on that. But the pace question was my only real question. So
I got you.
I guess for now.
Yeah, boy.
All right. So, no, you're good. You're good, man. Deuce, you know, we don't agree with you on your prediction at all. If you want to hear our prediction, you know,
lunacy.
Stick to the end of the podcast if you wish. But
I'll ask this before I head out.
We thought we had hope for you. You know, you said they're going to lose, and then you turn it around.
But the Lions are going to lose harder if there are negative points allowed in football. Plus,
you're not scared of Dan Campbell coming in the Chicago.
I've seen
your kneecaps.
I've been wearing knee pads since week one. Just in general, when I went to the airport this week, it was very awkward because they had to flag me. I'm like, what's on your knees, sir? I'm like, Dan Campbell's chasing me at all times. But the one thing, I figured Nagy's going to probably transfer play calling over to Bill Lazor.
We've heard this before.
We have. And those last six games last year, I'm holding on to those last six games like it's my dying breath. Because that's the only thing that I can think of, like, well, maybe.
Including the playoff game against the Saints, where you scored, what, 7?
Yeah, we're not. I think Nagy took that one back. But that was just they're a miserable team that's miserable to watch, but sometimes they make you happy.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll leave it there with you. Deuce, thank you so much for entering the Lions Den. No luck to you this weekend, and travel safely.
Right. All right, you guys have a good night.
Time to go back to the asylum now, Deuce.
See you guys.
Put the jacket on.
Crazy.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you to Deuce for re-entering the Lions Den, our first re-enterer that we've had.
Well, isn't that the definition of insanity? You know, doing something over and over again, expecting different results.
What about us on this podcast?
Ooh.
Oh, no one said we were playing. I mean, we had fun, though.
Don't ask the questions you don't want answers to, Big Z.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyways, so the Lions, 2.5-point underdogs this weekend in Chicago. What do we need to do against this Bears defense? It's still a really legitimate defense, but giving up over 200 yards rushing to the Browns last week, I think that's where it starts for the Lions here. Establish a run game.
Yeah.
Get this defense back on their toes, and then do what we've done good. Throw the tight ends and running backs. That's literally the only thing that's worked so far, 2-3 games this season. But your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. We got to get that running game going big time. A lot of DeAndre Swift early and often. You know, mixed Jamal in there too. But, we got to get them the ball in his hands a lot. And run that clock, too. I think our defense will do okay against their offense, but yeah, it's up. It's the key is going to be us scoring some points, getting some points on the board. So
yeah.
I think we'll do it through the run game.
I agree.
I mean,
that's our starting point. That's our strength on offense, right? That's where we start. So it's nice that it looks like this could be a good matchup in that realm. Though I do want to see them make a point to get receivers involved earlier in these games and showing that we can be a threat there, you know, spreading out the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, a couple early shots would be nice to see.
Yes.
Connor?
I'd like to see us wear them down. I mean, the Bears do have a good defense, but they're also a little older. And I think if we have some long, sustained drives where we don't have to run game, I think we can start to wear them down and maybe open the game up a little more in the second half. And that goes back to keeping Goff safe, too. And we haven't given up any sacks this year. I think we can keep doing that. We should be okay. I think Goff will be fine in Chicago.
Absolutely. And a big matchup I'm looking forward to this upcoming weekend is Sewell against Mack or Sewell against Quinn. Those are both two really good defensive ends. Been around the league a long time, successful. So it'll be a really good matchup there, at least for Sewell. Now, Matt Nelson, can he hold his own against either of those?
That's what I was.
Might be the bigger question on the edge at the very least. And then Akeem Hicks, of course, you have up the middle for this team. But I like our chances at least with Big V and Ragnow. Jonah Jackson still has something to prove this season.
Yeah, he's had some ups and downs, Jackson. But
I really do think it starts at the run game. You do not want this Bears defense pinning their ears back. That's where the Browns had success last week. The Browns, it was a little ugly. Like, their receiving core isn't great either. They did get Odell back last week. But ultimately, they won that game throwing screen passes to Kareem Hunt or swing passes out to Kareem Hunt and just running the ball down their throat with Chubb and Hunt.
I mean,
that's a play we need to learn how to do is a screen pass. For some reason, even during the Stafford years, we were never great at screen passes. I don't know why. But we should be good at screen passes. They're going to be. Yeah. They blitz a lot. They have a strong rush. We need to perfect the screen pass.
Well, I think we've seen some good ones from this team this year already.
Yeah, I think we've seen better success so far. It's the receivers that we've seen a big downgrade.
I was going to say, it seemed like previously we had the receivers for a great slot system, but it just never, like even with Tate or whoever, Theo Riddick, it just wasn't ever working. That was bizarre. I agree with
you. Right. So, and then let's move it over to the other side of the ball. Defense, the big improvement last week against the Ravens. Now it's probably a step back in terms of an offense that we're going against, especially their past few performances. If the Lions get more than 20 points, is that considered a bad performance against this type of offense? I mean, what are we looking at? I mean, there could be like a garbage time touchdown at the end, but.
Under what circumstances? Are we giving up 20 points when we're not getting as many points?
I think if we give up more than 21, I'll be ashamed.
This is a Bears offense that hasn't scored a touchdown offensively in 7 quarters. I think they did on the first drive against the Bengals, but other than that, it's been extremely ugly from their end. And this is a rookie quarterback. I think Aquara, he played pretty well in the game last year against the Bears. This is an arguably worse offensive line, definitely a worse left tackle, going from Charles Leno to the really, really old and really he shouldn't be on the NFL roster, Jason Peters. Aquara needs to step up this week because that's what the Browns did. Myles Garrett, I mean, Aquara's not Myles Garrett, I'm not saying he is, but Myles Garrett won pretty much every rep against Jason Peters last week, and that was a big reason why the Browns were so successful in terms of pressure.
I just wonder what the Bears are going to try to do against our defense. It seems like a perfect matchup this week, the Bears' O-line and our D-line, which is surging now. It seems like that on the surface, but every time I think I know something like that, it never seems to work out the way I think it's going to. So I'm just curious what they're going to throw at us to mix that up or to, you know, slow down our pass rush. Because I think it's becoming quite formidable, actually, our pass rush. So
I don't know about formidable, but improving.
Effective.
It's becoming.
I mean, we saw in flashes against Aaron Rodgers against Green Bay, and then – this last week, I thought they did a really good job of more or less containing Lamar Jackson with that
They did. Yeah, that's right. Job. They definitely did.
Great job.
And so, I mean, that was really, I thought, an impressive effort. And so, in that sense, I think there is some formidable, energy coming off this D-line. I think they're starting to show that they can, establish the line of scrimmage and make plays.
Well, that was the word, Rudd Doug, energy. This defense seemed to have more energy than any team I've seen in a while. For the Lions. Yeah. So, and I really like that a lot.
And I like this brewing. Who do you think's going to emerge as the leader between Maben or Derek Barnes? Because I didn't notice Maben more on the field last week.
Derek Barnes is more of a project, I think. Like, he's going to have more ups and downs. So I would say Maben.
I would expect them to keep doing what they were doing last week in terms of rotating series and getting even splits with the reps because it was 28-27 last week in favor of Maben. Yeah. But so pretty much even split in terms of reps. Maben definitely looked like the better of the two. But, I mean, Barnes is a rookie. So the Lions are throwing a lot of young guys out there this year.
Absolutely.
They're throwing a lot of young guys, really testing them, which is exciting. And also, if you're looking to make the playoffs this year, yeah, frustrating. double edged sword, but I do think for the Lions to win this game, they need to have that success up front against this offensive line because that's where this Bears team is most vulnerable.
Yes,
agreed. One more thing, I just want to say, UJ pointed out the energy. I think that's part of why that D played better because whatever energy that Jamie Collins was bringing was holding them back. I think they played better as a whole defense just without him.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so. There's that holdover, from the Patricia era. He just seemed like a guy that didn't have a position on the field, honestly. He's not the most nimble guy. We saw in the Patricia era how he couldn't cover a running back. And the Lions seem to be favoring like the linebackers that have a little more speed and agility. And Collins is kind of like I guess an edge rusher.
I'd say he's more like an outside guy.
And it wasn't working.
Well, I wish him well wherever he goes. But also, I got to bring up, too, that remember Flowers didn't play last week either. Now, I don't know if that was a plus by subtraction, too, that we don't want to talk about. Or I don't know. And
Austin
it looks like
played
he's
well,
not practicing right now either. I don't know if he'll be back again this week. But I don't know. It's something worth talking about, maybe.
Has anyone seen, like, grades on our D-line? How Austin Bryant, like, graded out?
He was, like, in the middle. And if you're talking about PFF grades, it was like a 60, which is a little above mediocre. But I think that was more for his run fit than his pass. But Okwara grayed out really good in the pass rush. So I hope to see him continue to build a role there.
Romeo
as
or Julian?
Julian Okwara in terms of third down pass rusher. Because that's beautiful. What we kind of hoped for when we drafted him. To see that. Mm-hmm. So maybe he can build out a bigger role as a three down linebacker, but at the very least, he looked pretty good as a third down pass rusher last week, and we can continue to see him to grow, hopefully, going
this
forward.
This will be a good team to get another, to do it against.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Another young guy out there we're looking for growth out of, especially on this defense. The Lions have done a really good job of just trying to get rid of everybody. slowly but surely from there. And now they got some work to do with Will Harris, maybe, if he continues to not play up. But they continue to sing his praises, so I don't know.
We have all these players in their formative NFL career, years.
That's right.
So
And here's the thing about, all the young guys getting all this time playing is that usually you want some veterans on the team to kind of advise them, but the whole Lions coaching staff is like, ex-players, veteran
That's
players.
True.
So they kind of fill that void by having them in the coaching staff rather than on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, it doesn't really – it saves that extra roster spot.
Yeah, exactly.
The old vet.
Yeah, I got to bring up something, too. Anthony Lynn getting looked at by USC as their head coach.
Right.
It'd
be nice to have
what
him
do
for
you
a
think
couple
about
years.
That?
It'd be have nice.
I know. I would like some.
He'd be a great candidate there, though.
Year or two, but
he'd be a great candidate for them. I'm sure he'd get paid much more by USC than offensive.
But I mean,
probably.
I'm sure the Lions could find a suitable replacement.
Well, as long as he finishes out this year, it's all I'm worried about. Just see that kind of continuity.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubts he would finish out the year.
I don't think it's a, that bad or good either way.
Sounds like just like sending signals about.
A lot of people are going to want the USC job, so who knows?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Right.
So I just thought I'd bring it up.
The Urban Meyer rumor is my favorite. That Urban Meyer is going to go to USC.
Every time there's a big college football opening, Urban Meyer is always
literally his first year with the Jags, the rookie quarterback, and people are spreading that rumor.
I know. Oh no, it's good. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, week 2 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week 3 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, to kick off another action-packed week. DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet only $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now on your iPhone or Android and place a bet of $1 on any week game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. Its sportsbook is not yet available in your state. That's okay. DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Michigan has online gambling, all right? And it could go right to your phone. So Detroit Lions fans shouldn't have to worry. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TPPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code TPPN. That's a T, two P's, and an N. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. So let's move on, gentlemen, now to the final part of our week 4 preview. And that, of course, is predictions.
Predictions.
So, gentlemen, as I mentioned, the Lions playing a noon Central 1 Eastern kickoff in Chicago. 2.5-point underdogs on the road. Connor, since you're on the road, we'll start with you. What do you predict for this game?
Well, as I've been driving here down I-55, I've been trying to think of all the scenarios where the Lions could lose this week. And I haven't really been able to find one yet. I mean, I think Goff's going to do pretty well today, especially in the red zone. I think he's going to have 3 touchdown passes. I think St. Brown's going to get one. I think Hawkinson's going to get one. And I think DeAndre Swift's going to get one.
I thought you were going
to
say
I also think Jamal Williams will rush for one. I think Stevens will have one big, big catch. And I think the Lions are going to win this game 28-17, kind of comfortably. I don't think the Bears are going to pose much of a threat at the end of the fourth like Baltimore did last week. So that's my prediction.
They're going to score 2 touchdown score, the first ever.
Let's go to you, Rud Dog.
Good prediction, Connor. I think this is going to be a really good game for our defense. They're going to, you know, get a chance to pick on a lesser offense and get after it. I see them harassing whoever they put back there, whether it's Fields or Dalton, and causing some turnovers. I think we're going to see an interception from Tracy Walker. I think Owori is going to pick up another interception this week. And Julian Okwara is going to cause a sack fumble. And Derek Barnes is going to run for a touchdown. So defense is going to go off. That's all
right.
I'm saying. And that's going to lead to us winning 45-7. They get one.
Wow.
All right, you're back to drinking all the Kool-Aid. I think you made it like a 10-point prediction last week. So,
man, wow.
Let's go to you, Jay.
Okay, let's see. I think it will be a good day for our defense, but I think our offense will struggle against the Bears' defense. And if they're going to follow what happened to us last week with Baltimore, they took Hockenson pretty much out of the game. And I think the Bears will try to do the same thing. So I think we're going to have to count on our wide receivers having a better day. So Khalif Raymond and Cephas, I think, will have maybe their best days as pros in this game. I think our run game will start to show effects, good effects for our team. That'll open up a couple passes downfield. And I think we might score even on a long bomb, I'm predicting one, probably to Cephas. Mm. I think the offense will put together a pretty decent game by the end, and I think we'll score like 24 points. But I think our defense will have a day with the Bears too. So I think their defense might even get a score out of this. So I'm going to say 24-10. I think the Bears are going to be ineffective on offense, but I think our offense will do enough. And it's going to be the rise of the Lions defense that's going to be the story here. So anyway,
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm going to go with a close one, though. I'm going to say 23-21. I do think it's close. It's tough. The Lions have a tough time usually when they travel to Chicago. It's always a weird up and down game. It's just weird. It's always like last year's was weird. Like Okwara slapping a ball at Trubisky's hand, and then right. Allen Robinson goes out at the 1 yard shy of the first down, and then they lose on a draw play. I think people forget Patricia was not coached there. It was Bevel. So Patricia never beat the Bears.
That's crazy.
And especially could not defend one of the, worst quarterbacks in Trubisky. Patricia could never figure out Trubisky. And we'll never know if Aaron Glenn could, because Trubisky is no longer there, which is probably a good thing for us. So now we get the Justin Fields experience. Hopefully it's like last week's. But I think 23-21, I do think the Bears are going to – I do think they make it interesting here for us. But I do like our matchup with them, especially our defense line against South Carolina. We need to establish a run, though. I think Swift is going to get over 20 carries this game for over 100 yards. Williams maybe like 7 to 9 carries for about 50
Swift
yards.
Swift and a rusher 100? Then,
I do. Just because – I'm basing this off Campbell's comments that we're going to see a lot more of Swift going forward. He doesn't think that they've utilized him enough. And I think that's going to come to fruition in this game. And then a couple, I think two touchdowns from Hockenson and then three field goals from whoever our kicker ends up being. I don't know if Siebert's back yet, at least not as of this recording. I think we get Santoso for another week. He's perfect. Right. He's perfect on the season kicking.
Let's go, Santoso.
I love that deer in the headlights look he has, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last week he stood on the sideline for on the field for 6 minutes waiting to kick that field goal.
I give him a lot of credit. Shout out to him. That was awesome. He came in and did it, man.
But yeah, yet again, gentlemen, we all predict a Lions victory.
What?
We drink
hard to believe.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, we're going to wrap up this podcast, but before we do, I just want to thank everybody for listening, and so please subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Please download, and please leave a review on Apple Podcasts as well.
Yeah.
Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Please go on there, reach out to us with your thoughts on this upcoming game. Maybe the Jamie Collins release, what do you think that means? Or the $55 million of dead cap space? Again, that all comes off the books in 2 years. In 2 years is where we make probably the big free agent splashes. But right now, we are paying for it in draft capital and just time. But regardless, thank you, everybody, for listening. Really appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. And last but not least, as always,
go!
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain, a Lions victory.
Go!